Rohan, welcome to the show, my man. Good to have you on here.
Thanks for having me, Curtis.
Absolutely. So for those of you who don't know Mr. Rohan, would you give yourself just a brief introduction of who you are real quick and your company, and then we'll kind of backtrack a little bit.
Absolutely. Rohan, chef from Vancouver, Canada. Run a, what would you call it, a digital agency, paid traffic digital agency. But to kind of figure that out a little bit over the last few weeks, because we've switched our niche a lot. But yeah, built a very successful paid traffic agency in the marketing space, specializing in multi-network traffic. That's one of my companies. And then I have another company that I own called Direct Heroes, which is the first Instagram-based CRM. And been kind of working with some big brands that we can talk about later on. But yeah, that's kind of the Cole's Notes of me and what I do.
Awesome, brother. So I'm curious of what were you up to before you got into the marketing space? Like if we could go back, you know, to your teenage days of what was Rohan doing?
So before marketing, let's say we go back high school days. High school days kind of, you know, I got into what the first 2 years of high school was an interesting, like grade 8, grade 9. I think you guys do middle school in the States too. So we don't do that here in Canada. But in high school for grade 8, grade 9, I was like an honor student, just kind of book smart, kind of went hard. Grade 9, I got to a point, I'm like, am I ever going to learn, like, what I'm learning, am I ever going to use this at some point in my life? It was just, like, one of those, like, internal young age conversations. And then I kind of always had, like, an entrepreneurial spirit, like, no matter what, like, always kind of wanted to try stuff. Grade 10 was when I kind of started first grade, end of grade 9 into grade 10 was when I first started getting into my entrepreneur days. And that's when I started doing, like, just selling whatever the hell I could at school. Got to a point where I figured out how, like, you know, today e-com and drop shipping is, like, the big thing, or has been the big thing for the last few years. I was drop shipping containers of pocket bikes from China. So I found a supplier in China that would sell me containers or, like, these little mini crotch rockets that I would buy from them for, like, you know, $100, $150 and turn around and sell them for, like, $500, $600 at school. So that was, like, my big win in the high school from a entrepreneur side. And then from there, did lots of door-to-door, sold Cutco knives when I was in high school, even though they're not supposed to hire anybody. Just sell Cutco until you're out of high school. They hired me because they see my background. Sold Cutco knives when I was in high school, and then transitioned to, you know, 20s, where it's kind of where I started to build a decent career in sales and marketing.
So what initially got you into the space? Like, what drove you into it? Fucking... Oh, just pardon us on this, my video
interruption.
Here we go.
What initially got me into what? Sorry, you cut out there.
Yeah, what initially got you into the marketing space?
So what ended up happening, long story short, was after I did all of my high school stints to sales and kind of all the craziness that I did there, my lifelong goal and dream as a kid was to become a commercial airline pilot. So as soon as I finished high school, literally a month later, I kind of enrolled into flight school and started going to become a pilot. And what was supposed to be a 2.5 year course or 3 year course through university, I decided to do it on my own. So I didn't have to go through university, I just kind of did it privately. And my goal was to finish that in under a year and a half. Like, so I wanted to cut it down 50%. I got about 3/4 of the way through, and realized that because I got offered a job and everything else, like throughout the entire process. And I was like, and at the time I was working at McDonald's as a manager too. Like while I was doing all of this, I kind of always had McDonald's for about 6 to 7 years of my life. Because I was running stores, so it was kind of easy money. And I got offered a job as a pilot to go, work in Northern Canada in freezing cold conditions, which I don't do too well in, and, you know, and kind of get around minimum wage. And I was like, this doesn't make sense in my head. I just spent all this money in school. I got offered this job. I make more money at McDonald's. So I was like, I'm going to drop out. Like, that was like one of my like initial things. I'm like, as much as I wanted to be a pilot all my life, I'm going to drop out. Cause I just looked at the tenure of what I had to put in to make like a good 6-figure salary even. And it was like that. So then what ended up happening was I dropped out, and then I went on Google one night searching, lost, kind of confused. And I was like, this is when Google was like, I don't even know what you would call that today. It was so good, but it was like the most ridiculous search engine back then. And I searched like top 10 jobs to make money. And the first three that came up were the top three, but the top one was being a hooker, being a drug dealer, and then sales, like in that order. Right. I was like, I'm not going to take number one, nor am I going to take number two. And I knew I could do sales, but I had no like professional experience in sales because it was just like kind of throw spaghetti at the wall and stuff that I was doing with Cutco and my pocket bike experience. So I went on Craigslist and I just applied for everything in sales and eventually got a phone call for a company. And I was like, I knew I was not going to get in the corporate world kind of, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to apply for everything, like literally every posting I applied. Yeah. And then I ended up getting a job doing door to door sales. And anybody can really get the job doing door to door sales. So it was like one of those situations I got in, didn't know what I was getting into. Ended up getting into door-to-door sales, almost got fired from that job because I didn't end up doing any sales for like 3 weeks into the company because it was kind of a very different world because you're like knocking on 120 doors a day and trying to get people to do it. Whereas I came from like creating attention to getting sales. So it's kind of a very reverse mindset for me. Fast forward through that company, ended up becoming the number one producer in Canada for the company for a very long time. Eventually helped build a team, built two teams with another company after that. Got out of door-to-door sales, transitioned into in-home selling. So I was doing a lot of high-ticket selling. So I'd show up at people's houses and sell them like $6,000 to $13,000 packages on software for their kids. So not only am I selling parents, but I'm selling kids as well at the same time in one sale.
Computer software?
Computer software, yeah. It was like Sylvan Learning. I'm sure you guys have that in dates. Sylvan Learning, like a tutoring program, but it was made for a computer. So that was an interesting one because our call center would be calling these families for like 6 months at a time, trying to get us education consultants into the door to share them, to kind of get them the product. And the whole thing was based on an assessment, which was a really good assessment because it kind of showed the parents like how much are they actually learning from school, whether they bought this program or didn't. Like that was the value proposition. It was a massive amount of value. Ended up in that company being the top producer from month one in there, always top three, kind of doing that. And it got to a point where I was like kind of toot my own horn, but I got bored in the company. So I told the owners to give me the shittiest leads possible because I just wanted to like see if I could challenge myself. Be like, what are the worst leads you would not send anybody to send me to those leads? And I started selling that. And then it got to a point where I was like, okay, I've mastered the art of one-to-one. And I kind of, you know, one of my values is learning. It's always kind of been learning, but in just different forms. And so I was like, well, what's the next thing? Like, how can I get to a point where I'm sharing my message or sharing my skill set one to many? And that's when I started to stumble into marketing. And obviously sales is one to one, marketing is one to many. And I took that and started studying marketing in, you know, digital marketing at the point was just kind of picking up. Yep. And it already had a pretty good foundation in terms of things that were going on.
What year was this?
So I started studying digital marketing in end of 2010 into 2011, okay. Went fully into it because I had the contract with my sales company till about end of, it was a weird contract. I had to do a tour, what we call, like we do road trips. I had to do a tour with them. So that was in 2013. But I officially finished a contract with them in 2012. So I finished the road trip with them where we went to Northern BC and did a bunch of sales there. And then went full-time into marketing 2013. So that's kind of when I did that. And then since 2013, I've been studying marketing, built, you know, massive agency in the marketing space, and started what was first social media is now paid advertising, hence the beginning of the call. It was like, you know, what the hell would you call ourselves today? Yeah. It's like we specialized 100% in paid traffic now.
Cool. So, all right, so 2013, like obviously your company's grown a lot bigger from 2013, and we'll get into that, but kind of take me through the journey of 2013 of how this all got started. What did life and marketing look like back then for you?
Talk about, like, you know, we share a very similar mentor, whatever you want to call it, in our values and in our life. That's how we met. And this is before I knew any John's work. So I had a very healthy six-figure salary or commission base, whatever you want to call it, with the company that I was doing, but it was not fulfilling to me. I was just like, I'm literally going in, and like the product was great and I was helping tons of families, but it's like I personally internally wasn't fulfilled anymore, and hence the reason why I just decided to cut the cord. So I went from six-figure salary at like early 20s to nothing, like no income. Because I left McDonald's, that whole world had already been gone. Mm-hmm. But I went all in on, you know, marketing. And what that looked like was the first year and a half to 2 years was not easy. Because pretty much I was just trying to figure out what I was doing, figure out what my product was, what my service was, you know, just kind of trial testing, kind of getting my feet in order. And then fast forward to 2015, end of 2015 is when it kind of it started to gain some momentum. And I still had gained momentum on the side of business, but not on the side of income. So it's like, you know, it's like you still have a business that's growing. People know who you are, but your personal income kind of was go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then 2015, I got the opportunity to go to Sydney, Australia and speak at an event and share all the stuff that I was doing in the marketing space on the paid advertising side. And that kind of put me on a trajectory. And then 2016, I ended up partnering with a business partner that I have today. And we'd known each other from my door-to-door days because he used to live with the guys that I did door-to-door with. So him and I partnered together. And then since 2016 to today is what we've built is now what is now called GrowRev Marketing or GrowRev.com. And, you know, it's funny because I just got back this weekend from taking my entire team for the Christmas party up to Whistler. And just sitting there with me and him, like on the opposite end of the table, was just laughing because it's like, you know, 4 years ago, none of us would have guessed that we would have built this big of a team and had this much fun with our team going up there. So that's kind of the transition in a nutshell, where it's like went from a six-figure salary to nothing, struggled very, very hard.
What were some of the pains and the struggles through that period in those first few years?
Well, the biggest pain and struggle was I decided to get married in that period. So that was adding to pay for a wedding in there. That was fun.
Okay. So maybe she actually assisted you in actually growing your company.
100%. Yeah, she's assisted. There's been plenty of people that have assisted me. She absolutely assisted me in parts of, you know, being there to stabilize my income and everything else too. But that was one because it was like, you know, I decided to get engaged when I had a salary and this good commission. And then I was like, fuck it, like threw it off the line. And then went all in, but it was one of the things she knew kind of going into it, what my personality was like. I've kind of always been all or nothing. Yeah. It's not like I'm not 50-50 done on a lot of decisions in my life. So that's kind of what it was. And we decided to get married. We decided to push the wedding out a year once I did do that. Cause you're supposed to get married, in 2013. We ended up getting married in 2014. So we pushed it out a year. And it was difficult because, you know, there were days where it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, how am I going to pay for the next bill or whatever? Thank God, you know, I was able to fortunately get some help from my parents in the meantime to kind of float the decision of kind of going through that. But my parents knew I was crazy enough to pull this off, that I'd pull it off somehow and figure it out some way. But there are some low points, man. Like there, like, you know, there's peaks and valleys in the valleys that I look at. Like I remember one time that kind of one of the ones that I've had to work on and collapse, even what we call a collapse in the work that we do, was like I'm sitting in a drive-through to kind of get a coffee and a burger, and my debit card just didn't work because there was no money in it. And I was like, that was at a point where I was like, okay, there's something's got to change here. Where it's like, I can't even fucking afford a coffee and a burger anymore. Like, what the hell has my life come to? And most people will look at that moment as like, you know, life ending or life altering and kind of just give up or throw in the towel or whatever. But I looked at that moment as a part today. Now it's like, I'm so grateful for that. Cause even that moment was so discouraging, but it's like today I'm grateful for that. Cause like that is one moment that drives me every single day, and it filled a void, and it still fills a void to a certain degree of like never wanting to be there, but also never wanting to have people go through that. Mm-hmm. Cause now like one of my passions is teaching and sharing and educating businesses and business owners and scaling that. So it's like, that's kind of the double end void that it's kind of filled. So those are like some of the pain points.
I'm curious to just hear more about that. Cause I think I know in my life, I've been in that place before. I know others who are listening to this most certainly have.
Yeah.
And you've grown to a really large scale, what would be considered above average of human standards.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear your piece on what you did, what you did to get through that and to continue to carry on and not give up.
To be honest, like in that point in time, if I look at it today, I think it's funny because now that we do John's work, I look at everything, you know, based on balance.
Right.
But if I look at it back then in that exact moment, it was just like, I knew there was only one person that was going to have my back, and that was myself. And that's kind of the situation what it was. And it was, you know, the typical hypothetical of like having a gun to your head and you kind of got to figure out, you've got 30 days to figure it out kind of situation. And I just went all in harder than I ever was. Not that I wasn't all in, but it's like, I was kind of going through those highs and lows throughout the low. But at this point I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't even care. I'm going to, like, it literally was a point where I was sleeping like 2.5 to 3 hours a day or a night.
Wow.
It was, I was insane. I was working during the day, consuming content at night, planning what I was going to do the next day, sleeping like 3 hours a night, waking up. And it was messed up. Would I say that on an opposite end that it helped my health? Probably not, because it definitely, I saw the effects of it down the road and working on that now. But, you know, it was like, that's kind of how all in I went. It's like, everybody's all in is different. For me, it was just like, I knew where I was. And, you know, like, don't get me wrong, like, those depressive states. And, like, I literally was told that I was clinically depressed at one point through the entire process.
Yeah.
And I refused to take any medication or anything else like that, because I just knew it's like, yes, am I depressed about the situation? But what I was doing was I was comparing that situation to my past, where I'd always done so well and everything else. Yep. And then I just kind of went all in, figured it out. And, you know, figured it out was just relentlessly going all, just taking out all out massive action. If people said no, I didn't give a fuck. I just kept going on and kept going and kept going and kept going. And eventually that no turned into a yes, into a yes, into a yes, into a yes. And then, you know, you still had no's along the way. And then yeah, that's kind of what's transitioned into what I've built today.
How long did you start to see, or how soon, or the time frame was the momentum from that moment that you started to see the traction start to go more of on a towards the peak?
I'd say, so that was about, let's say, fall, if I remember correctly, that was around fall of 2013 when that moment happened. When I started to see, like, okay, there's something moving here, and I could actually, like, start to have that belief inside of myself, would have been early 2014, is when I kind of started to be like, okay, there's something that I could do here. And it wasn't like crazy. It was just like a couple $1,000 or $1,000 or whatever. Breathing. Yeah, just breathing. Just being able to pay the next month or the next, like, you know, put gas in my car, whatever the situation was. And I actually got to a point where in 2013, right after I quit my job, I ended up selling my car because I knew I needed that cash. So that's kind of what I ended up doing. So it went like from 2013 till 2016. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been 2016, but I didn't have a car because it was like, that's how all in I went. I wanted no payments. I was like, outside of my cell phone, the one thing I knew I could make money off of.
Yeah.
I wanted no responsibilities on financials except myself and what I could pay for to eat, live, and kind of breathe. So I got rid of my car, and like, it was just like, I was like working with my mom, like, worked their cars, used my, like, fiance's car at the time, and just kind of doing whatever I needed to fill that gap. And it was just like massive, massive all in. But yeah, I was, and then I eventually, to kind of answer your question, got to, but I'd say if I'm looking back at it, probably like around like the first quarter of 2014 was when I could see, okay, I'm on to something. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I've got to keep going. Yeah. And that's when I was like that's when I figured out like selling services and kind of the clientele that I had and stuff. And it was more of an ego hit too, because I came from this massive sales background, but all these sales teams took a company, like 4x a company, in a year and a half that I was with them. And then I'm like, now it was like, what am I doing with nothing to back myself? So it was like the most insane story. Like those that few years of my life, if like I'd started vlogging it or like kind of documenting it, if I'd known what vlogging was back then and I started doing it, it would have been very, like, if I looked at it from that situation and looked at it from an outside perspective, I had to look at what, you know, most people went through, it would have been a very inspiring document to kind of put through. But here we are sharing the story.
Yeah, because I think that's the human experience that people actually want to relate to.
Yeah. Yeah, because today, people, like, you obviously follow me on Instagram and stuff, and, you know, people look at what I have today, and I get messages all the time, and, like, it doesn't affect me as much as it used to anymore, but it's like, you know, people are like, oh, you're such a fucking loser, you're showing off your cars and your house and blah, 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 and I'm like, if you even knew, is, like, literally what a lot of the times what I'm thinking is, like, if you even knew the stuff that I went through. But it's like, you know, I don't even, and I get why people say that a lot of the times. It's like, you know, they're at a point where they're either internally giving up on themselves with this disbelief, or, you know, no support around them. And I've had all of that. Like, even no support from third party. I had that, and it wasn't enlightening, to say the least.
So let's dive into kind of now, okay, and what you guys are up to and what you've created, right? You're just, following your story, you guys were, like you said, you're at Whistler's the other day, having dinner with your entire team. So I'm gonna take me into the space now of RoRev, of Direct Heroes, of what you guys currently are doing.
Yeah, so GrowRev has turned into a full-scale paid traffic agency. We started, so Matt is my business partner. So the both of us built the company. We partnered together early 2016, kind of scaled it. 2017, we started hiring full time. 2018 was an interesting year. Talk about a peak in the valley. We ended up going from like multiple six-figure a month company to like less than five-figure a month company in a month and a half period. That was an interesting one. And it was a learning experience. And it was because it got to a point where it's like we're just throwing shit at the wall so fast that it broke, and it broke pretty heavily. Scaled back, fixed it, and then again went back to building the phase. And then today we've been on a consistent trajectory, knock on wood, in terms of scale. And now, you know, we've got a full-time team of 15 people that work for us. We've got a team in Vancouver. Our US team that we currently have is moving to Vancouver in the first quarter of New Year. So we gave before we went into Q4 of this year, we kind of had a team, full-on team meeting saying we're moving everybody in-house outside of our Australian department, because we do a lot of work in Australia, so we're going to open that as a separate department. But if you're in North America, you have to be in Vancouver. So we're moving all of them into Vancouver. That's that company. And you know, over there, we currently manage somewhere between $30 and $40 million a year in paid advertising, and kind of going down that route. Work with some pretty epic brands. We've worked with Kevin O'Leary, Barbara Corcoran, Robert Hershevik, you know, and other guys, Damon John from Shark Tank. So those are the four big entrepreneurs that you guys would probably recognize, or your audience would recognize. We've done a lot of brand deals and kind of work with them there. Specifically working currently in the sporting space, e-commerce, info marketing, so make money offers, photography offers, teaching people, just kind of sharing knowledge. You know, kind of one of the things that we learned in Prophecy is, you know, taking, helping people that have knowledge and scaling it and sharing it to the masses. Like, that's one of the things that I'm most passionate about. That's on the GrowRev side. On the Direct Hero side, it being the first Instagram CRM that's been built. And what I mean by CRM, it's an automated chat system that also kind of gives you data on your following and kind of how to build and kind of scale. You're using it like an autoresponder. If you're ever familiar with an email responder, an autoresponder, it's built like that for your Instagram DMs, for the average person or for the high-end influencer. You know, some of the clients that we have there is we've got VaynerMedia. We've got a couple brands with them. So Gary Vaynerchuk's companies, they're using it. We've got, 1UP Nutrition. We've got a really, really big fashion company that I'm not allowed to talk about. We've got some big YouTubers, that we're working with right now as well. And then we've got the average end user that's just got a, you know, small mom and pop shop, coffee shop, and they're using it to kind of bring more sales in, and we kind of help them go down that route. That company has been an interesting one because, you know, we are in the tech space, and knowing what tech has done in the last decade of our lives is everybody went in, raised millions of dollars to build really, really quickly. We've actually not had to raise till today. We are getting geared up to raise in the new year. And the reason was we kind of wanted to build a really strong foundation to see if we had a viable product. And, you know, we self-funded it through growth. And it's like a lot of people look at businesses. Both of my companies have never, ever put any outside investment, kind of just used, you know, sweat equity into building the company. And now that both companies are kind of stable, Direct Heroes is at a point where it's like we've had some pretty interesting offers for what we've built. So now we're going to get geared up into a raise to go heavy into the new year, because we know where influencer marketing is going, and Instagram has doubled down on influencers too, especially the fact that with TikTok blowing up and the influencers going on there, they're changing their entire portfolio going into the new year. So that's been a fun experience. So I've had a lot of experience in the marketing side and a lot of experience on the brand side with some big names, to say the least.
Can you talk about, because you know, you're working with these top brands, these top individuals, can you talk about where business is going in the terms of digital marketing space? Like, where do business owners, entrepreneurs wanting to, where do they want to put their attention? Where is that going? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So the way I look at everything, so over the last, being in the marketing space for a long time, and I've seen, you know, Facebook ads from this heyday. Like, I was on Facebook when it was brand new. And kind of looking at what it's done today, it's like it's gotten difficult, and you know, no one's hiding behind it. And if anybody's selling you it's still as easy as it was, they're fucking straight up lying to you. And that's coming from someone that spends a lot of money on Facebook.
Yeah.
What I look at now, it comes down to value first. You know, I've kind of harped this for a long, long time. And Gary Vee also harps this a lot, but he does it more on the social aspect. Like give value, give content, create your YouTube channel, all that good stuff. But the way I look at it is take that content and run traffic to paid advertising to it. That's kind of my angles on it. And is 2020, you know, I'm actually supposed to be recording a video this week. I'm going to be calling it State of the Union for paid advertising going into 2020. We're getting it all built out. And exactly that. It's like one of the things that we're talking about, there's content first, value first, and building an affinity with your audience, which a lot of people haven't done. And the ones that have done are going to fucking smash it. And I will put my money behind it. But if like a lot of mom and pop shops, you know, they were just like, oh, I want to put 500 in and get 2000 out. Like you could do that a few years ago. You can't do that anymore. Now it's like, you know, let's put 2000 and get 2000 out, but that other, what you've got out from them, let's build a relationship so you can sell them something else. And then that builds a lot longer term clientele with you as well. So that's kind of the role there. That's kind of what we've done in that perspective, and that's kind of how I see marketing going into let's say hypothetically 2020, because the next decade, we're coming to an end. Like we're what, 10 days away from the end of a decade, which is crazy to think about it. The next decade of marketing will be very interesting, because a lot of people are hedging bets on VR and augmented reality and all that stuff. I'm still hedging my bets on, you know, one-to-one marketing in terms of direct response is going to win no matter what. It just comes down to how you use the form. One thing we're going to be testing internally is actually going back old school and going direct mail, because there's so much attention online. There's not a lot of attention offline, but if done offline, done correctly, people are going to be like, this is different. That's what we're going to be hedging our bets on, at least for 2020, until we see what happens with Facebook, Instagram, TikTok platforms, because there's so much attention. But it's like, how can you maximize that attention to its full capability? So that's kind of the way I see it. What we're you know, and anything that I share is what I'm doing, and kind of putting my money where my mouth is, since I wouldn't share it unless I'm actually doing it.
So from your point of view to business owners, entrepreneurs, listening, influencers they want to become influencers, is it, you know, just getting out there, putting yourself on camera, writing, like,
video, man, video. I'm a huge, huge, huge proponent of video, and I think, you know, being with your background, you probably love this, me saying this. But people want to build a relationship, and the fastest way to build a relationship today is this, and exactly what we're doing. And, you know, when you sit down and record a video, and you don't have to have a full video setup, and, you know, a lot of my ads, yeah, there's a full setup downstairs and things that people can use and see. But it's like, just my, like, some of our best clients is just like a selfie video on their phone, and they're just recording a video. Like some of the best ads, because it's so raw and kind of open, going down that route. But a lot of the times, if I'm out and like if I'm in an event or something and I learn something, I'll just go out into the hallway, record a quick video on my phone, and use it as an ad. And it converts every single time, because the overproduction, people are noticing overproduction today. It's like, it's gotten to a point where really helping the end consumer? No, because they want to build a relationship. And that's where TikTok's winning from a social platform. And Instagram's losing, because a lot of Instagram's got into people putting a lot of time into, you know, taking a picture and then spending 4 hours editing it and putting it up or doing the same thing on the video, whereas TikTok is just raw and live. And people can correlate and relate and build affinity to that really, really easily. So that's kind of what I see from a video perspective. And then I say video. Audio is number two, because people want to listen. And then number three is reading, so articles. I'm not sure if you take your podcast and turn them into audio form and then upload it onto Spotify or whatever the other platforms are that people are listening on, iTunes and things. But those are my top three picks for 2020.
Nice. Very, very cool. Yeah, it's been it's interesting seeing, like, you know, I got into acting 15 years ago.
Right.
This is like when DSLR cameras were like just coming into
existence. Coming out. Yeah. Yeah.
You still had like the cameras with like the disc in them.
Yeah. 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 You put the little round disc in them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so to see like, you know, just from that angle of like, you know, the acting I learned was all about how do you be yourself on camera.
Right.
Seeing where the market has took in terms of like, being able to show who you are and be authentic and be congruent with who you really are on the inside. It's like people aren't able to escape that.
No.
like, the more I see it in businesses, I'm like, you have to expose who you are if you actually, if you want to succeed or whatever you see success is to you, right?
And authenticity is going to win, man. Authenticity is going to win 10 out of 10 times. And I couldn't agree anymore. Funny enough, talking about this, I'm going to take this away from you, but it's like, you know, you follow me on Instagram and I'm fucking as black and white as it gets on Instagram. Like, my clients follow me, my students follow me, and it's like, I show them when it's like, when it's time to have fun, we have fun. When it's time to be serious, we're serious. And a lot of the time, sometimes it looks like I have more fun than I'm serious, but it's like, I'm authentic in that. And that's what people want to relate to. It's like, everybody looks at, you know, oh, this guy's built an online business, you know, he's built this offline business, it's worth millions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, show them behind the scenes, show them the stuff, the struggle, show them everything.
Yeah.
And then people will want to follow you for a lot longer.
Yeah. It's fucking, it's really fascinating how much of, like, you can, I mean, if you were to just take it in the social setting of there being, like, you know, red light cameras, city cameras, like, the human is getting more and more exposed. And from, you know, just having a chat with you in regards to business, and like, you can't run away from it.
No, not at all. Not at all. Soon enough, you're going to have cameras in your car, probably, like, in your rearview mirror looking at you and things that you're doing. If you're on your phone and stuff, it's probably going to be connected to the cop shop or something crazy. Who knows what it's going to look like in the next decade.
So what are some tips that you recommend to, you know, entrepreneurs just even getting into the market, stepping into the online world, like, just like daily things that they could do to progress their brand?
One of the things that I probably would suggest people doing in today's day and age is just being authentically sharing content and picking the platform. One of the things that I see a lot of times, people are trying to do too many things and not mastering one. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to be on Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and blah, blah, blah. It's like, pick one. What's your medium? Do you like speaking? Then pick audio. If you like video, then use Instagram stories or TikTok or YouTube. Pick one and master it. Like, and when I say master, I mean to a point where it's like, you're literally can turn on a camera and talk about what you want to talk about, and you know you're going to get views, you know you're going to get clients, you know you're going to get that data and convert that traffic. Once you master it, then start opening up new platforms. If there's, you know, if you've got a bit of cash behind you, master paid advertising, because paid advertising is the fastest way to get your message in front of somebody else. And that's kind of my, you know, standpoint behind everything. It's like, if you want, like, there's two things you're always going to put into businesses: time or sweat equity or money. Well, which one can you put out the most of? Mm-hmm. A lot of times, if you don't have the financial backing, your sweat equity and your time is one that you can win every single time. And beginning a new company in the online world is content first. So if you're sharing content, you can take that content, you've got some money, put, you know, $50-$100 behind it in ads and get people to know who you are, follow you, and kind of going down that road. So that's what you can do on that part. On a daily day-to-day, it really comes down to what kind of company. You know, I've got two companies at two different ends. One is an agency, one is a tech company. Two different operating systems, two different things that are running on there. Then I've got an info brand that's about to launch as well, coming up in January. And, you know, every single thing there is different. If you're looking at, you know, taking your knowledge and sharing it to the masses, is, you know, make sure you're just creating content that, you know, your competition is not even, your free content should beat your competition's paid content, is the way I look at everything. So, and the reason why is because that will attract the most avid buyers you've ever seen. And you'll make the most amount of money, and you never have to always worry about going back.
On that note, I'm curious on your point of view of how much do you give away of your inner content?
A lot. To give you let's say on the agency side, right? What I say, if you ever see my ads on Facebook or YouTube or wherever my ads are running with the agency ads, I literally say, you know, like, there's everybody's running out there, free no obligation consultation call, blah, blah, blah. And I literally at the end of a call have people telling me that they've learned more in just a 30 to 45 minute call on how I've been able to help them with their marketing than any course that they've ever been able to buy. Right? Like, I just go all out. And the reason why I do that is because whether they hire us or they don't, I don't care. Because if they don't end up hiring us, a lot of times, and this has happened and I've seen it, where it's like they'll end up talking to somebody else that would want our expertise. And then it just, that referral source becomes so fucking strong that it just makes it for itself. So it's like, when we do those calls, we go all out on content. When we're doing our digital expert launch calls, they're going to be all out on front end content. It's like, What do you want to know? What do you want to learn? Let's give you the context. And in fair exchange, you know, so you want to be fair at the end of the day. We're all here to build a business. And I straight up tell them, at the end of the call, I'm going to pitch you. I'm going to give you an offer to work with us. And like, they're okay with it. But it's like, I want to provide that value first before I even have ask for that money. Like, that's kind of the correlation to how I do it. And a lot of my transition going into now that I'm launching an info brand, going into the new year with my social content and everything else, is going to be sharing a lot of stuff that is inside of Digital Expert, where it's like, just, you know, breaking it down. A good friend of ours, acquaintance to you, and a good friend of mine, Lewis Mocker, and him and I have this conversation about it all the time, is, you know, when you deliver high amounts of value up front, the delivery in the back end can be the same or a little bit more, but it's less that you have to worry about your consumer because they trust you.
Mm. Yeah, Lewis is someone who's, I've just watched him from Infinite Prosperity to now. I mean, he's scaled quite largely with what he's
done. Oh man, what he's done. Yeah, I was just with him last month in Brisbane, and you know, the numbers that he's pulling through with the mastermind that he's launched is fucking phenomenal. And there's an answer for you to exactly what I said earlier. Pick one platform and master it. You pick Instagram and fucking master it, and built a million or a couple million dollar business just organically off of Instagram without spending any paid ads till end of this year. So his entire first year launching that company, zero paid ads. And you know, literally that's the epitome of what I like to say is, like, until you master one thing, don't pay attention to anything else.
Yeah, I actually interviewed him, I think this time last year.
Okay.
And he was chatting about his, you know, his Netflix of masterminds.
Masterminds, yeah. I mean, he's done a fucking good job at building it.
So I'd love to hear your perspective. So let's take an entrepreneur we have in the low six figures who wants to scale to the next quarter to the mid. Like, what do you suggest in someone who's in that position, who's, they're hitting six figures, but they're like, it's great. Let's hit the quarter. Let's hit the half.
What do I suggest to them? If you're at six figures and you're not, and you don't have a social following and you're not spending money on ads, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because a lot of the times where it's like, one of the things that we have a call to our clients is, if you have that following, or if you don't have a following and you're making six figure salary or six figure business income, not personal income, and you want to turn it into a global business, is take, most people say 10, I'm more of like 20 to 25% of that income and toss it into ads. And obviously do it smart. Don't just throw money and burn money, but put it into ads, because that is just going to throw fuel to fire on the business. And done correctly, hire an agency that's right, you know, figure out who the right person is, hire someone internally, whatever it takes, just be able to throw that in, because the more you go all into ads, the more you're going to win at scale. And like, that's kind of the standpoint that I've always been behind. Value first, and putting value with paid traffic, you're going to win, you know, 9 out of 10 times.
So this can be referenced to either a service or a product.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. If you're a six-figure business and you're not putting money into paid advertising, like with today's day and age, advertising is so damn easy. Yes, it has gotten more expensive to what we think is expensive. But if you go back to
commercial.
Exactly. Compared to those days, like we're so spoiled, right? But we're like, that's expensive.
Yeah.
And even when my clients tell me a lot of times, like, oh, the cost per acquisition on our sales this month has gone up. And I'm like, all right, go put an infomercial telling me your cost per acquisition is. And then you got to figure out how to make more money on that person at the back end. That's a very, very different conversation. But like, that's kind of what I look at. It's like, you know, it's not as expensive as most people think. Is it easy as it was a couple of years ago? No, because businesses have started to transition. But if you come content first, like I've said, and harp this, and I'll harp it every friggin' time I'm on a call with anybody, you're gonna win.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I think we've dialed in quite a bit of good content here.
Yeah, man, keep going. If you have any more questions, or you know, your audience has.
Yeah, I'd love to know more about Direct Heroes for the listener, and let's just use it in the sense of this listener isn't Damon John, or you know, doesn't own Prada.
Yeah.
And they're more of a solopreneur, smaller brand, lower six figures, and you know, they're like, dude, I use Instagram, I love it. Like, how does Direct Heroes apply to me?
So the way I explain it to people that are like, you don't have a big following, you know, let's say you're under 1,000 followers on Instagram, right? Yep. but you still have an affinity to that audience. They follow you for a reason, whether it's your friends, family, potential business people, whatever. Back in the day when you did email, and even still today, you would ask someone to come to your website and put in an email, and you'd get their data from them, and then you'd sell them through their email box or give them value through their email box. It's the same context. It's, you know, get your following to, hey, DM me a certain word, whether it's your name or whatever it is, a certain keyword. That gives you the opportunity inside of Direct Heroes to build a subscriber list. And then, you know, you could have specific content just to that follower that has built a subscriber list. Because a lot of times, even when you post stories and, you know, your organic reach on Instagram, I'll be straight up, it's shit today in comparison to what it was even a year or 2 years ago. But if you've got them inside your subscriber list and you have a piece of content that you want to share, but you want 100% viewership, like hypothetically, you send it to that list, every person's going to at some point, because you got that annoying one unread message thing that's going to say, you got to go look at this message. So you're going to force people to open that message and only when, and then you get, you know, that's where some of our clients are getting 90% open rates to viewing all their messages because of that. And kind of marketing to this. So it's like, you know, you have a small coffee shop, or we had a tattoo shop in Australia that we had as a client there. And I think they spent it was like somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 in ads. Very, very small amount of following. I think it was like under 4,000 followers or something like that. So very small business. And they used Direct Heroes, built a list. And in the first 60 days, they added an additional six figures in bookings. Just from using Direct Heroes and using a little bit of paid advertising to it. So they didn't spend a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of following. They just used paid advertising and used a smart tool to build that relationship with their audience, and were able to turn around and, you know, get a ton more sales.
Are you able to discuss what pricing is for the entrepreneur with Direct
Heroes? For Direct Heroes, yeah, right now, where we stand, it's $97 a month. For software, we are in the midst of toying because we're adding so much value to the product. Mm-hmm. We may, depending on when you're watching this is currently December 2019. Right now, it's $97 a month is what we charge our clients, up to 10,000 subscribers. So that's 10,000 people on your subscriber list. And then after that, it just goes to a penny per subscriber. And that way, it's scalable. We are potentially looking at a few different pay structure changes, but that probably won't come in for at least another few months. But it'll still be around the time of like where it's affordable for scale. It's just, you know, we're getting to a point where some of our clients are building some big subscriber lists, and it's like, for the value that they're getting, the fair exchange isn't there on one
side. Not there,
so
yeah.
It's like we've got to be fair to the business too.
Are you guys running the ads too?
We've got a couple clients, so because they're two separate companies, and funny enough, they're two separate companies with two different business partners.
Okay.
They're not the same run team. We are going to be having a chat actually this end of this week when my business partner on Direct Heroes flies into Vancouver, to combine the teams together. But as of right now, they're two separate companies, and like Direct, and it's kind of a really good mix for both companies. Cause on one end, if a client wants more growth, we usually send them to Direct Heroes. And then on the other end, if this client on Direct Heroes client wants more paid traffic, they come to GoRev. So they kind of just become an affiliate to each other. So it's been pretty fun there. But yeah, like we can help with paid traffic if it comes down to it. We do work, to be honest with you, we do work with a very niche type of clientele on the agency side. But if that is you and you've got a business that's doing low six figures, is usually what we ask for, then let's have a chat. And if not, still reach out. Digital Expert can help you, or we could connect you with other agencies that we've partnered with that we trust and we've trained.
Awesome. Love that.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how you've scaled from two people to now you're moving your team into Vancouver, you're building a team in Australia. Like,
yeah.
How have you grown your own?
My own, like the team itself?
Your own business in the past, you know, these past years.
Yeah, so one thing I realized was, and this is a mistake that I made, you know, I was talking about in 2018 when we had that crazy low and then kind of built back up off of there. One thing I realized the first 2 years of running the agency at a decent scale was, you know, I could sell it. And then the fulfillment of it was there, but then there was no operation systems in the middle because my entire background comes from sales. So I'm like, I'm sell, but then I always had a team that fulfilled at scale. Even though we had a back-end team that fulfilled, with that middle kind of conjunction, What we ended up doing was we hired my brother in 2017. You met him in Houston earlier last month. Hired my brother in 2017 to come in and build out an operational system to kind of operate from the time sale happens to fulfillment, what happens in the middle. And that's kind of where we spent a lot of our last year and a half doing, just honing that specific operational system in. And since doing that, not only has our clientele, average clientele lifetime value increased massively, it's also helped the rest of the team because now we know where our pain points are, and then we fill that pain point with hiring. And if it means the sales side, I'm at a point where I'm too busy, then I bring on new. If the media buying team needs more media buyers, we bring on more media buyers. But now it's like a very black and white thing. It's always kind of balancing the scale as the company's growing, because it's like, you know, you can't just go one sided because then you end up with too many clients and then end up fucking sliding down.
Mm-hmm. Nice, man. It's it's cool to see from just a viewer standpoint of someone taking their business from where you've gone to where it is now.
Yeah.
So to give the audience a taste of, you know, I think entrepreneurship and kind of like, I would just say it's similar along the roads with the acting world of, you know, as an actor, you're going to go on audition or an actress and you're going to get denied 95% of the time.
Right.
Like you're just getting denied.
Yeah.
And it takes a certain type of heart and like belief to continue to carry on.
Yeah.
But to see what is possible through your example is really cool, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, the type of heart or whatever you want to call it, it just comes down to, you know, do you value growth? Do you value business? And kind of that's what it comes down to. Or do you value acting? Or do you value whatever the hell you're doing? Do you value it enough to go to a point where as many times people tell you no, you know internally that you're going to be able to get it done? Just keep going. Because eventually, you know, eventually those no's are going to turn into yeses. Law of averages have proven that. It's something I used to teach in door-to-door sales, and I use that theory in all parts of my life. It's like whenever we're launching shit, it's like things are going to break. People are going to say no. You just got to keep, you know, editing or keep fixing or whatever the hell you want to call it, and honing your art and honing your skill to a point where it's like, okay, now you've built it to a point where you can get people to say yes.
So I'm curious on what's your, and you might have probably double perspectives here, but in the far of like, bringing something new to the market or bringing something that is already perceived as valuable? Like what's your take on that?
If you bring something new to the, bring something new to the market, which is what we've done with Direct Heroes, we're the first company to do that. Like, so that's a very different one. So it's like first the market's always going to win. If you have a product, when look at Airbnb, look at Uber, look at any of the ones in that space, it's like always won. However, doing that is a lot more difficult than most people think. But if you take something that's working and just tweak it a little bit and make it better and then bring that to the market, you're going to have a faster run rate, than kind of going down that. So it's kind of like a 50-50. I've got a couple of there's another company right now that wants me to come on as a CMO for them and kind of help them, in exchange. Kind of, it's another tech company. That's another one where it's like, it's not a new idea. It's not a new product, but what they're adding to it and the difference that's going to make it scale is impeccable. And like, that's kind of the ones where I was like, okay, this is unique because it's like, there's going to be quick wins here if things are executed correctly.
Nice. So it sounds like an inner belief of just what you're delivering to the world as your service or product.
100%. And sometimes, you know, the typical Kevin O'Leary, when if you ever watch Shark Tank, you know, the market will tell you after a certain point in time where it's like, is this retarded, or like take it behind the barn and shoot it, like he says a few times. He says, but it's like, if you're going into like this one, they want to preface it. If you're going into a market in a service or a product that's new, do your research, test the market first before you go to build it. And we did that with Direct Heroes because we didn't know if it was something people wanted. And we tested it for 4 months before we actually decided to build it as a legitimate company. Mm-hmm. And once we knew like there was a need for it and people were like, damn, if there is something like that, I'd use it immediately. I was like, all right, we figured it out. Let's take it and run it. And there's a lot of times, a lot of products that we've created where it's like, the market doesn't need another one of these. And, you know, it's another failure, but it's like, you just take that and learn from it. But market research first, especially if you're going into something that's brand new.
Awesome. Well, Rohan, I appreciate your time today, brother. Thank you for coming on the show. And I would love to have you back on when the next perfect time is right.
Absolutely. Let me know when the next perfect time is right. Let me know if your audience enjoys this. We'd love to.
But before you go, please let us know how we could find all of your brands and your social account as well.
Yeah, so agency, growrev.com, growrev.com, Direct Heroes, the exact way it's spelled, directheroes.com, social, Rohan_chef, and I think I'll just get you all the links when you're ready to post the podcast. Is my most active, I'd say, is where I am, is on Instagram, because it's just the quickest, easiest. I have a ton of free content on YouTube that I just kind of share. It's not my biggest focus, but you know, a lot of the content on there is pretty top notch. That from at least the comments that I get on there, and you know, that's on the video. On from a video perspective, if you like reading my long form posts, Facebook. I just cleared out about 200 people, so if you find this in time and add me, I'll accept your friend request. If not, just hit the follow button on Facebook and you'll see all the content there. But yeah, those are the places that I'm the most active in terms of social and kind of what's going on in my world.
Awesome, man. Any last words for the guests of the show?
Yeah, just thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast, really. It's, you know, very rare that I get to come and jump on a podcast with someone that have a lot of things in common, and Curtis is one of them, and I'm excited to see what, you know, you do with your business. Actually, we spent a lot of time earlier this April chatting about it, and excited to see if, you know, the one person that takes and uses anything that I've shared on this and, you know, seeing what difference it makes in their life or business. That's what I'm most excited about.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate your time, bro, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Curtis.